Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, we are in our series, Getting to Know Jesus, Luke chapter 8. And we're going to start in verse 40 again, but we're going to skip down to 49 to finish the story. Hey, before we do, if you're enjoying this series, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, comment. What else can we do? Subscribe, like, comment, share. Let's do some sharing. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. It really helps the algorithms get the word out across Washington State. Just saying, like it, sharing. Hey, I'm listening in Colfax. I'm listening over in Pullman. I'm listening where, you know, just write that in. We would love to have you interact with us in the comment section. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. It really helps us to accomplish our goal. We have one goal at FPIW and FPIW Action. That is to change the heart so that we change the public square. You say, wait, I thought your mission was to defend and advance biblical values in the public square. It is. That's our mission and our goal. In other words, when we want to move that ball forward, we are going to say, let's change your heart. Let's change your heart. Let's change your heart. We want to unite and equip Christians to speak out on biblical issues in the public square. So thank you so very much for helping us with that goal. You truly do help us move that ball forward. All right, we're going to dive into Luke chapter 8, verse 40 in just a second. Some are asking me, what are we supposed to be doing right now? Well, it's campaign season. You should be getting to know those who are running for office. And some say, well, they just say one thing, but they do another. I know. We all need friends to walk beside us, to hold us accountable to what we've agreed to or what we have spoken. And so I want to encourage you, get to know some of those running for office and get out of your little conservative huddle. Get to know someone outside of that. Get to know some of the liberals. Get to know some of the libertarians. Get to know others outside of the circle. So that way you can begin to love those around you. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so I want to encourage you to steward 10 to 1. So investigate, get to know the candidates, and then find people who aren't turning in their ballots. I don't know how else to say it directly. Steward 10 to win. Make sure that they also get to know the candidates, or at least you can describe the candidates to them, and then make sure that they turn in those ballots. It's a little bit off, but if you don't start now, if you wait till right before the election in November, it'll be too late. You can't build a relationship that quick. So get to know them. You say, what do I start with when I'm steward 10 to win? Make sure that they love Jesus. The most important thing is that they love Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they're a sinner, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner, we're all sinners, and we need a Savior, Jesus Christ, who paid the price on that cross for our sins, and he rose again that we may have eternal life. Lay that foundation with them, and then get to know them, what their worldview is. Understand, do they have more of a cultural worldview of secularism, or do they have a biblical worldview that leans towards a conservative worldview? So get to know them and really lead someone to the Lord this week. All right, so let's go to Luke chapter 8. We're going to go verse 40, skip a portion of scripture because we read it yesterday, and then we'll come out to 49. Here we go. And Jesus returned to the people, welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, and he was an official of the synagogue, and he fell at Jesus' feet and began to implore him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years old, and she was dying. But as he went, the crowds were pressing against him. So Jairus, we see that he comes to Jesus because his daughter is ill, and the daughter is dying. On the way to Jairus' house, we see that a woman touches Jesus and is healed. That was yesterday. So while he was still speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue officials saying, "Your daughter has died. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." Look at that. Your daughter has died. Death is the end. And for some of us as believers in Jesus Christ, it's actually truly the beginning. But in this situation, it's a final step. And don't bug the teacher anymore. Notice that word teacher. They didn't say don't bug the person who's going to heal. Don't bug the rabbi anymore. You know, don't bug this anymore. But don't bug the teacher anymore. That might be the word rabbi. I'm not sure. But when Jesus heard this, he answered him, "Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe, and she will be made well." And when he came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the girl's father and mother. So can you imagine this? He says, "I just want you to believe." Now, I know that some of you have been raised in circles where the idea of faith and believing has been weaponized against you, and that when you haven't experienced God's hand of healing, you have been condemned by those around you to say, "You didn't have enough faith. You didn't believe." And it's almost like we've created with this bubble where we have to work up to belief and we have to work up to faith. I don't really think it's that. If we have faith and we believe Jesus, we don't have to work up to it. We also have God's sovereignty that we can trust. We can trust in God's timing. And so if you don't have belief or you have a lack of faith, acknowledge that. Say, "God, man, I'm just struggling and I believe you, but help my unbelief. I have faith in you, but help my lack of faith. And I receive your mercy, your grace in this time of need." Faith and belief should not be a condemnation weapon. It is simply a heart that follows after God. So he brings James, John, and Peter with the mother and father, and they go in. Now, they were all weeping and lamenting for her, but Jesus said, "Stop weeping, for she has not died, but fallen asleep." And they began laughing at him, knowing that she had died. Jesus, however, took her by the hand and called, saying, "Child, arise." Look at that. And her spirit returned, and she got up immediately and gave orders for something to be given. Look at this. I love this. So you want to talk about a near-death experience. This girl had one. And it's powerful because she's dead. And Jesus says, "Arise. Arise." And you may be feeling like you're experiencing death today. And Jesus, through the word of God, is saying, "Arise, child, arise." And her spirit returned. So what had happened, and you'll see this if you study near-death experiences, what happened? Her spirit had left her. Her soul had left her. Her flesh was there, and her spirit returned, and she got up immediately, and Jesus gave orders to give her something to eat. Her parents were amazed, but he instructed them to tell no one what had happened. Okay, so think about this. He just healed that woman with the issue of blood. He just set free the demon-possessed man who was naked forever. We had back here the parable of the sowers. But before that, wasn't there I think it was in chapter, there we go. So we go chapter 6. There was another resurrection, wasn't there? I'm pretty sure there was. So if we go back, he touches that coffin that was coming out. Remember that? And the guy comes out of the coffin as they were heading him down in the procession. So I just want you to know this, is that God is able to touch, to heal. God is able to do far more than we could ever dream of or imagine. And to know that he is the God that raises those from the dead. Now, we may die in these earthly bodies. We may not all experience the great catching away of the church. But even then, our soul and our spirit will go to be in the presence of Almighty God. Eventually, he'll say, "Child, arise." There will be the resurrection of the dead, and he will bring our bodies to catch up with our souls. All right, so this is a great story, and you're saying, "Okay, how does this apply to my life today?" Well, you're walking into your workplace. You may be in a dead job. You may be not liking what you're doing right now, and you're like, "God, I don't like what I need to do to provide for my family." Ask God to go before you in all things, to give you a new heart. Do your work today as unto the Lord and not to man, and it will change everything. you'll begin to understand that God is with you no matter what. And you'll begin to have a joy in your step, and you'll begin to have a heart that's new to God. You may be in that place where you've given up on Washington State, and you're like, well, this state is dead. It's no longer. God is in the business of raising up dead things, okay? And these things are for his glory. So what is my ultimate hope? It is my ultimate hope that we'll have revival in Washington State only so that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. My ultimate hope is in Jesus Christ. And I know that he is able and willing. And any ounce of unbelief or lack of faith that I may have inside of me, Jesus is bigger than all of that. We believe him and we give him our doubts and our fears, because it's not by works. It's not by conjuring it up. It's simply taking God at his word. He said that he does it. He'll do it. You say, what's your experience that gives you so much confidence? Well, many of you may not know, but I have a daughter who's wheelchair bound. She has been for 24 years. And I know that one day, she will be whole and complete in the presence of God. Whether that's on this side of heaven or on that side of heaven, I don't really care. I know God is able and he will do it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. And I do pray that as we go throughout it, that our heart and our mind will not be filled with doubt and fear and frustration and death, but life and life abundantly. God, you have come to give us abundant life, both in salvation, but also in practical sanctification of our daily walk. Lord, our culture in Washington State has gone the wrong way. It's gone ways contrary to your word, God. We are no longer glorifying you in the ways that you would have us to glorify you. So God, would you open up our hearts and our minds that we would once again see and know that you are the living God, the righteous one, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. Any ounce of unbelief or lack of faith, God, we give it over to you and we say it is yours. God, any place where there is hopelessness, we know that God, you can speak life and say, child, arise. So Lord, would you speak over our state? Would you speak over Governor Bob Ferguson, President Donald J. Trump? Would you speak over Patty Murray, Maria Cantwell, Michael Baumgartner? Would you speak over Leonard Christian, Rob Chase, Suzanne Schmidt? God, would you speak over their hearts and their minds today and call out of them, God, the newness of life, God, that they would once again see that you are able to do something mightily. God, if the person that I just prayed for, that they don't know you yet, God, let them have faith in you. Let them have a belief in you. Let them repent of their sin and turn towards you so that the Holy Spirit will come abide, at Resurrection Spirit would come abide inside of them. If they do know you, I pray for abundant wisdom to flow out of them. God, that they would be able to do things that would bless our state, that would move us forward in righteousness and in holiness and in with your moral compass. God, go before us in all things. Surround us, God. God, would you help us during this time where we are stewarding 10 to win? Give us 10 divine appointments that we may share our faith with people, God. Share that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no man goes to the Father except through him. So we give our hearts to you. We give our lives to you. Holy Spirit, come take up residency. Be our president inside of our hearts, God. You can rule and reign. And then allow that to affect our attitudes. Allow that to affect our work ethic. Allow that to affect how we interact with others. Give us a true love for those around us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now get out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that Champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.